Amen. Amen. Well, good to have you with us tonight there on social media. There's one other in the house with me tonight, and that's Brother Roger. We're filming this a little bit earlier in the afternoon so that we can be able to have it up on the site to actually be streamed to you. So just wanted to say welcome to you this evening. Want to welcome those of you who are on our live stream there on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things. It'll just help to get the word out even more. And also want to say welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you so much for being there. If you need that number, call the church office. We'll be glad to give that to you so that you can give that to others to share that with. If you have access to our church website, I want to encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab there that you can download the worship bulletin. So be sure to get that downloaded. And then also don't forget that under that same tab, you've got the children's worship bulletins that you can download. I would say if you need those in person, Roger, they're in the windowsills if you need one. So, but you can download those. You can send the link to anybody that you want. Use it as an outreach if you can and if you will. And then also we have the prayer list that you can download on the website. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's still last week's that's up on the website because we didn't get that uploaded this morning. But I'll go over a few that I know of to have you removed from the list, and some updates on some. Still want to encourage you, even though this is not live, to comment there in Facebook if you have any prayer requests or any updates, because we'll go back and look at that or even see that live as we see that tonight, and we'll get those added to the prayer list for the next time around. But you can download that also under the info tab. And while you're there on the church website, I encourage you to take the time and go ahead and do your online giving if you've not done that already. You can set it up as a recurring gift, so you don't always have to remember that. Or you can set it up as a one-time gift. You can do it to our regular budget offering. You can also give to Annie Armstrong Easter offering, as well as some of those other things that we have there on those particular things. Do want to remind you also about our YouVersion Bible app. Don't forget that. We're in the midst of the chronological Bible reading plan, reading the whole Bible through chronologically as best we know. And so I believe where I'm at right now is in the book of Numbers and in the book of Leviticus. It's kind of interchanging between the two right now. And so I encourage you to take the time to do that. You can find it on the Google Play Store, on the App Store on Apple, and you just download it, search for Our Church, Discover there. Once you click Our Church as your church, then you can you'll see the Bible reading plan there that you can join. That Bible reading plan doesn't matter if you're behind where we are. You can start there at the book of Genesis also, and it'll get you through to the end of the year. And then don't forget, we also still need volunteers. We need volunteers who can help us with the audio visual needs that we have with our services. We need people to help with Vacation Bible School. We still need people on Fridays. If you're interested in helping with the food share ministry, there is a sign up sheet on the board right outside the offices. So I want to encourage you to take the time to sign up there. If there's other needs and other things that you can be involved in to help with. Also, we do have our 75th anniversary celebration that's going to be coming up later this year in one of our particular services. We're going to be doing some things before then to emphasize the 75-year history of our church. But we're going to be having a planning meeting, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, March the 1st, 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not just for our church council. It's for any of our church that wants to be involved in the planning of that. There's all kinds of ways that you could be involved, whether it's in the hostess committee area, whether it's in helping us to gather some of the historical information, whether it's helping us to contact longtime members that maybe haven't been in a while, helping us to set up some things for the services throughout the coming year. We need your help with those things, and we're going to be talking about a lot more needs than just those that you can help us with on that Saturday, March the 1st, 9 o'clock. You'll see that in your bulletin this coming Sunday, so be sure to take note of that. We don't have our music team here tonight, and so what we're going to do is we do have a song on video that we want you to sing along with if you know it. You'll see some of the words that'll be on the screen there. It's called Let's Just Praise the Lord. Thank you.
heavenly places, felt blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things the family can afford. Let's just turn our hearts toward heaven.
Amen. I hope you lifted your hands to praise the Lord in that song. Let me just encourage you. Hopefully you had the opportunity to get to our church website there to download your prayer list, or you have one from last week. So just want to encourage you to take the time to get that downloaded if you haven't. We're going to go through the prayer list tonight and just give a few updates that we do know of. And then we're going to go on and let you share with us on Facebook there any updates that you may have. And so first of all, on our Highland Baptist Church family side, we have, and stop me, Brother Roger, if you know of any updates that I don't share that you've already told me. Carolyn S.W. Stone, keep them in your prayers. Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German, George Duncan, and Brother Roger told me he spoke with him today, and his reports have come back that he's cancer-free, and so praise the Lord for that. I know you're celebrating for him for that, and so just continue to keep him in your prayers that everything continues to go well there, but we praise the Lord that he is cancer-free. Also, remember Miss Janet Carter, Nancy Ritchie, Brian Tate, as he continues to recover from his surgery on his foot. Miss Linda Miller is headed next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend, on a disaster relief trip to Elizabethan, so want to keep her in your prayers, and that whole team that'll be going up there. They are in the rebuilding stage with our disaster relief teams, and so that's what they're going to be doing, is working on rebuilding some homes in Elizabethan, Johnson County, and Carter County sites there. And then also, we praise the Lord, Miss Kay is back at home, also recovering. Any more update on her, Brother Roger?
She's making progress.
Okay, so just making progress slowly, but making progress nonetheless. And so we praise the Lord for that. Keep her in your prayers there also. So if you do have any updates, share those now. And like I said, we'll catch those at the end there, and we'll update those on the prayer list for this coming Sunday and for next week. Also remember, on the friends and family side, the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel, our Calgary Mission Partnership. We have some teams that are going to be going there this summer. I'm supposed to be on one of those teams, and so keep us in your prayers as we prepare and get ready and start to get our deposits in and those things. So I want to uplift those teams in prayer as they're beginning that process already. Be with the Meredith family in prayer. They are Moldova missionaries. They're going to be here somewhere in the summertime there. We believe maybe at the beginning of July. We're still confirming that date with them, but it's going to be somewhere there at the beginning of July, we hope, that they'll be able to come and share what God is doing in their ministry in Moldova. Remember Katie Jo Bailey and her ongoing issues with leukemia. Sarah Jernigan, who's the sister of one of our former CDC teachers, Sherry Jernigan. She's in the hospital in a care center there in Chattanooga. Remember Buddy Saunders, who is Charles Saunders' brother. Remember Mamie Thompson, who is Amy Raymond's mother. Remember Ryan Bond. We said last week his situation had not changed any. Remember Rhonda Morris, who is also one of our former CDC preschool teachers. Remember Yvonne Ortiz, Kim Tucker, Wilbur Warren, Charles Miller. We pray for his surgery and things that he has going on. Be in prayer for Andy Taylor, who is Nancy Ritchie's brother. Be in prayer for Kay Goff, who is one of our friends in Charlotte, North Carolina, who has dementia, and she's in a care facility there. Remember Tim Forsyth, who has cancer. He's one of the ministers over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester. Keep him in your prayers. The Ray family, who is part of Matt Kohler's family. Crystal Schroyer, who is a relative of Belle Royton's. Remember Cody Kohler, who's still recovering from his car crash. That's Matt's brother. Still has some ongoing issues there. Remember Barbara Prince, who has colon cancer. That is Ann Smith's aunt. Also, remember Glenn and Mary Leibig. This is Linda Smith's parents. Keep them in your prayers. I think he's 99 and she's 96, and they have ongoing issues, and the kids are having to take care of them. But they seem to be doing fairly well, but they take turns out going to take care of them, and so keep both of them in your prayers. Be in prayer for Pat and Carrie Robinson, who is Samantha's sister and brother-in-law, in their service in the embassy with Haiti. I remember Delilah Garmany, who is 2.5 years old, has some hearing issues. Keep her in your prayers. And then baby Sophia, we took off the prayer list last week. She is doing much better. The medications that they finally were able to get her situated on are helping her. Do continue to remember the family of Don Hardy and the family of Val Kohler. Brother Matt went down this past weekend to Georgia to be with his family for her funeral. So keep that family still in your prayers this week. So if you have any friends and family updates, please share those there, and also be sure to do that on Facebook there and give us any new requests that you may have. And then also we have in the nursing home and on the assisted living list, we have Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Sue Prince at Morning Point, Miss Beverly Daniels, who's at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell, who's at Legacy Nursing Home, and Gordon Jackson, who's at NHC Tullahoma. If you're looking at the old list, it shows Miss Imogene there at Lynchburg, but she is now back home, and we praise the Lord for that. So keep her in your prayers as she has rehab at home and all those things that she's having to go through there. So keep her in your prayers. And I know she's probably joining us on the phone live streaming as she usually does. So thank you for your prayers for each one of these. Any other things you can think of? Okay. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these, and then we'll get right into our Bible study for tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that even on a day like this, when the weather is bad and we're not able to all get out like we normally do, to be able to be gathered together in worship in your house, we can be gathered together through this means of streaming. And so, Father, I pray that we will sense and feel your power and your presence where we are in our homes or our cars, wherever we might be listening to this service or watching. Father, I just pray that your spirit will be present with us, as your Spirit is present with us, Lord, may you convict us of any sin that we have in our lives. Lord, we don't like to talk about our sin. We don't like to deal with our sin, but we know, Lord, that we must if we want to have effectual, fervent prayer. So we come to you in prayer tonight, Lord, asking for you to forgive us, to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Lord, wash us as white as snow. Thank you for the new fallen snow and for what it reminds us of that the precious blood of Jesus does to our hearts and to our lives. And Father, I pray that we would confess those sins, that you would cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Lord, we sometimes have difficulties accepting that and dealing with our sins in that way, but that is what your word tells us, that when we confess them, you forgive us of all of our unrighteousness, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so, Father, I pray that you would forgive us of all of our sins. Lord, we want to uplift tonight our Awana kids who are not here. Lord, as they are at home, we pray that you will bless them, that maybe those scriptures they've been memorizing over the last weeks will stick in their hearts and their minds, and they'll recall those things. Maybe there's some scriptures they can be memorizing or working on memorizing while they're at home. Father, I pray they will do that. And Lord, be with our youth who won't be meeting tonight either. We ask, God, that you'll continue to draw them closer to you. Father, we pray that you will have your hand upon them to use them in a great and mighty way in your kingdom work. And so we just praise your name and glorify your name through what you're doing through our youth and what you're doing through our kids. And Father, we just pray for your hand to be upon our church and in our 75th anniversary here, Lord, as we press forward into the new year. Father, I pray that and into the future that you have for us, I pray we'll remember the past and thank you for the things that you've done and the lives you've changed throughout the past. Lord, that we would learn from the past and the things that maybe we shouldn't want to do again. But Father, I pray that you would help us to learn from those things and to grow in those things so that we can be the church you would have us to be in the present, looking forward to where you would have us in the future, in the next 75 years. So bless us, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate that this year. Lead us and guide us through all of that preparation. Lord, we pray for everyone who's on this list tonight. We ask, God, for your healing hand to be upon them. We ask for you to touch them. Lord, we pray special blessing upon each one of them. Let them know that you are with them, Lord, that you've not left them nor forsaken them. Sometimes when we're going through physical trials, we get discouraged. We begin to even sometimes lose heart and maybe even lose hope. But Father, I pray that you'll surround these individuals with your grace and your mercy and your presence to make your presence known to them. Father, I pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to them to bring comfort and peace to their hearts, to bring a peace that passes all understanding, especially, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones in these last days. And Father, I just pray that you will embrace them in your mighty strong arms. Lord, we pray for their caregivers and ask, God, a special blessing upon each one of them also. We know they are struggling, going through these difficulties with their loved ones, and we pray for those doctors and nurses and other caregivers who are helping. Father, we ask a special blessing upon each one of them. And Father, we just pray tonight that as we come to join in worship and in studying your word, I pray, God, that you will speak to us in the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to learn from it, to apply it to our lives, that even though this is an Old Testament passage, I pray that you'll make it alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword for our hearts and for our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles. If you have one there with you at home, be sure to go ahead and grab that. And if you will, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, down through verse 22. You know, as we look at this passage tonight, I've entitled this message, Set Your House in Order. In fact, that's the message that Isaiah is coming to bring to King Hezekiah. And so we're going to begin here with just the first two verses here in chapter 38 to get us our feet just a little bit wet before I go any further with the passage. So if you're at home and you have your Bible, would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, Thus says the Lord, Set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, once again, bless your word, make it powerful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you be seated. You know, there is no limit to the power of prayer. And the reason there's no limit to the power of prayer is because there's no limit to our God and to God's power. God is omnipotent. That means that he is all powerful, possessing perfect, boundless power to do anything that he desires. But understand that God is not just all powerful, omnipotent. He is also omniscient. That means that he is all-knowing. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees and he knows everything. This message in chapter 38 here is a message of God's omnipotence and his omniscience, his all-powerfulness and his all-knowingness. And this is wonderful news as you read this, because God knows when serious illness strikes us or crises come and confront us, he knows it. And God has the power to handle whatever it might be that we face in our lives, no matter how severe that might be, no matter how painful that might be. You know, when we face these kinds of mammoth problems, our responsibility is to pray. Our responsibility is to pray, to turn our hearts and our focus towards the Lord and to cry out to him. You know, if we're sincere and we're willing to turn our lives totally over to him, the Bible tells us that God will hear from heaven and he will answer our prayers. That's why one of the first things in our prayers that we ought to be doing is confessing our sin, because the Bible tells us that if we regard iniquity, hold on to sin in our lives, we don't confess those things, then it becomes like a hindrance between us and God. It tells us if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God will not hear from heaven. And so we need to deal with our sin in our lives. Come to him, pray to him, cry out to him. And if we're serious and willing to turn our lives totally over to him, he will hear and he will answer. In some cases, he'll miraculously heal us. In other cases, he doesn't. And yet in other cases, he gives us the strength to walk through the illness that we're facing or the crisis that we're going through to face it victoriously. And so through prayer, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can defeat us or overcome us, even death itself. For the believer, death is not the end. God's knowledge is infinite, is what we're going to see in this passage. And he knows everything about us, even the very number of the hairs on our head. And along with that, God has the power to help us. That's what we're going to see in Hezekiah's prayer in this passage. So the first thing I want you to look at is this, the scourge of sickness, the scourge of sickness, that all of us are sick. We're sick in sin, ultimately, because sin entered into this world, and sin came through one man and has entered through all of us. We're going to see here the physical sin of King Hezekiah, but you're also going to see the spiritual application that this brings in looking at his physical sickness. So this chapter brings us, if you will, into the sick room of King Hezekiah so that we can learn the painful lessons that God taught him there. Here we see this mighty king being reduced to a quivering, crying baby, if you will. Here we see the devastation of disease and a silent, invisible enemy destroying his life from within. And so we see here that we also see the power and the goodness of God, as we're going to see, healing King Hezekiah, but only after this disease has led Hezekiah to question God's love for him. So in this passage, we're going to be led to ask the deepest questions of life. Questions about God's goodness in our pain. Questions about God's goodness in our suffering and what his purpose is in that suffering. Why does he allow suffering? Why does he even bring it into our lives? And the question comes then, if he is powerful enough to heal it? And if so, why doesn't he heal it every time? And as always, Isaiah is ultimately going to point us to Jesus Christ. You read through the whole book of Isaiah, and that's where he's pointing us always to, is to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. And so the fundamental truth is that when Adam sinned, suffering and death entered this world. In Adam, we all sinned. In Adam, we all died. In fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." And that's the word of God that tells us there how sin came into this world. But the gospel also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, it tells us that for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So there is a remedy, there is a solution for our death in sin, and that is Jesus. So Jesus, as Paul tells us, is the second Adam, and it's by his wounds that all God's people are ultimately healed. Maybe not in this earth, but ultimately in heaven we're healed. And so God has willed that death should be the last enemy to be put under Christ's feet. As long as we're here on this earth, we've talked about how we're still going to have to deal with the presence of sin. We're not under the power of sin anymore. We're not under the penalty of sin, but we do have to face the presence of sin. We also see the same thing with death. We're not under the power of death anymore. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're alive in Christ and you'll live eternally with him forever and ever. But you're still going to have to deal with the presence of sin until we get to heaven, where there'll be no more death and no more pain and no more suffering and no more sorrow. So every single person has to face diseases and injuries while we live. And there are many things, many diseases, many things that can happen to so many. There's a wide variety of sicknesses worldwide. You know, we think of all the things here in America. You think of all the heart problems. You think of all the intestinal problems that can cause death. But there are so many more things. There are 12,420 disease categories in the International Classification of Diseases that the World Health Organization categorizes. There are 17 main categories, including infectious parasitic diseases like malaria, neoplasms like tumors, diseases of the blood and blood-forming organs like leukemia, diseases of the immune system. One that pops up that we know of or think of mostly with immune system diseases is AIDS, diseases of the nervous system and sense organs. Multiple sclerosis is an example of that, and injuries and poisonings that happen throughout our bodies. There's all kinds, and you could go on listing more and more and more. We live on a sin-cursed planet. And that's why when you read the Old Testament and you start out in the book of Genesis, you see people living to 800 years, 700 years, 900 years, and on. And it's because sin had not taken its full effect that it has on our body throughout the centuries now. And so, and from the prophecy of God's word, a man is scarce to live 120 years. And so they used to live many years beyond that in the book of Genesis, but because sin has taken its full effect, we live less and less and less. We live in a sin-cursed planet that's like a boiling pot of suffering and death. And we can hardly imagine, you think about all the suffering that's going on here in America, you can hardly imagine the cries of pain and the pleads of prayer to God for healing that comes every single day from all over the planet. The ultimate solution, though, to this river of suffering is the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Someone once said this, that medical science may divert the flow of this river and stem some of its tributaries. Smallpox has been completely eradicated, but everyone who lives will die of something. Every single one of us are going to have to face death. And the only cure is the ultimate cure, Christ's atonement. So Isaiah chapter 38 here brings us beyond Hezekiah's sickbed to the cross and to the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. You'll see over in Isaiah 53 and verse 5 that we'll get to much later that says about Jesus that he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And so that leads us then to see the curse, the scourge, if you will, of our sin. The second thing that I want you to see is Hezekiah's misery and his prayer. You'll see that in verse 1 down through verse 3. So let's go back to verse 1 again. In verse 1, in those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And then verse 3, that we didn't read a moment ago, says, "And he said, Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So when you begin here in chapter 38 opens with the news of Hezekiah's illness that brings him close to death. Isaiah the prophet is sent to Hezekiah here to his sickbed to tell him, "Hezekiah, you need to put your house in order because you're going to die." Now think of someone, the doctor was to call you and to say, "Jim, I tell you what, you need to get your house in order. You're about to die." That would be shattering news, and that was shattering news for Hezekiah here. You know, when the doctors look you in the face and say, "You better get your will in order, get your life in order, get all those personal papers together, you're not long for this world," that is shattering news. And notice Hezekiah's reaction. He doesn't take the news well, does he? In fact, what you see there in verse 2 is he turns his face to the wall, and he says, in his prayer, he begins to pray to the Lord. Instead of trusting in the joy of the eternal pleasures at God's right hand, instead of thinking, "Well, when I die, I'm going to be present with the Lord," Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he begins to weep. Now notice his prayer here. He prays that God would remember all of his faithful service in verse 3, all the wholehearted devotion that he's displayed throughout his life. Now let me tell you, if that's the prayer that you're coming to the Lord with, what a dangerous prayer for you to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I hope you're hearing me. Please, Lord, remember just how faithful I've been. Lord, remember all the good that I've done in your sight." The Bible tells us over and over, there is none that is good, no, not one. So he prays that God would remember all his faithful service, all of his wholehearted devotion. That's not the best ground for an individual to stand before a holy God in. You know, my righteousness is nothing as filthy rags. It's the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to me that secures my salvation. So for us as Christians, the best place for us to stand is not on our perfection, but on the perfection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So at worst, Hezekiah's prayer may imply that he believes God hasn't dealt with him justly, and that God maybe owes him a better outcome after all the many ways that he served him. In other words, it would be kind of akin to praying, "Lord, I've done all this. You need to let me live. You don't need to kill me. Let me die." You know, it's so easy for those in suffering to lose perspective. We think we deserve better than we've gotten, and we struggle with why. Why is this happening to me? Well, let's continue on and see what happens in this passage in chapter 38 here. We see God's promise of healing and its fulfillment. So look, if you will, at verse 4 down through verse 6 just to start with. So verse 4 begins and says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah," and this word that's coming to Isaiah is coming to him to give to Hezekiah. And that's why it says in verse 5, Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and will defend this city. So what we see in these first verses here is we see God's fatherly love coming through the weakness of Isaiah's faith, and God sends him this surprising message. God answers Hezekiah's prayer with an amazing promise. God says, okay, Hezekiah, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And beyond that, God also promises to continue to deliver Jerusalem from the king of Assyria. Now, you remember the picture of what's been happening in the chapters leading up to chapter 37, chapter 36, with the nation of Assyria that surrounded Jerusalem. We saw last week in chapter 37 that God fought them, and they 185,000 of them were killed in one night, and they are on their way back to Damascus, back to their capital city. God has been protecting Jerusalem, and he says, he tells Hezekiah here, I'm still going to deliver Jerusalem from the king of Assyria. Now, some commentators, when you read some of what they have to say, think that these events of Isaiah 38 actually preceded Isaiah 36 and 37. But Isaiah's illness and his miraculous healing are given in three different places in the Bible. And the reason I mention this is because I want you to see those three different places. You could read those chapters later. But Isaiah 38 here is one of the places it talks about his sickness. 2 Kings 20. You can read there about his illness and about his healing. And then also over in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32. So Isaiah 38, 2 Kings 20, 2 Chronicles 32. And because all of that parallels what's happening here in the book of Isaiah. And in all three places, the order in all three of those places is the Assyrian invasion and defeat, then Hezekiah's illness and healing, then the Babylonian in envoys that come in the next chapter in Isaiah 39. So we should probably really look at it in that sequence. But coming back to that promise, the promise of 15 more years is what causes some deeper issues for us. Because God had already told him, Hezekiah, put your house in order because you're going to die from this illness. Now it seems, when you're reading it, God's changed his mind based on Hezekiah's prayer. You know, it's not easy to harmonize these two statements. On one hand, God says, I'm going to bring judgment on you. You get your house in order, you're going to die. On the other hand, after the prayer, he says, I'm going to bring healing to you. I'm going to let you live at least 15 more years. So it's not easy to harmonize the two statements there in the scriptures from an omniscient God, especially when you read passages like Psalm 139:16 that tells us that all our days were written in God's book before one of them ever came to be. Psalm 139:16. And so it seems like Isaiah 38, verse 5 and verse 6 is teaching us that God can heal anyone at any time from any illness, and that our God is a prayer-answering God. In fact, James chapter 5 and verse 16 tells us to therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So this original statement by Isaiah is not a false statement. It's just not as complete as maybe what we would see throughout the whole of Scripture here. It seems like a fuller statement that he would have said to Hezekiah is, put your house in order because you're going to die unless you seek the Lord in prayer and ask him to extend your life. But if you do, I will. But it was best for Isaiah to leave that part out, to let Hezekiah decide to come to God in prayer on his own. So the bottom line is, We shouldn't think that an omniscient God who never needs to learn a single thing, who knows everything, didn't already know that Hezekiah would change his mind, would pray, and he should already know his eternal plans based on the input from a fallible human being like Hezekiah. So why did he say it to start with then, if he already knew Hezekiah was going to pray and repent? So the account ends here with how God worked the healing and the amazing miraculous sign that God gave Hezekiah to bolster his faith. So look at verse 7. He says, "This shall be the sign." So he wants to have Hezekiah see this sign so that he can have a confidence about what's happening here, to know that this is from God. "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised." Verse 8 says, "Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back on the dial the 10 steps by which it had declined." A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. We'll get to that part in a little bit. Turn over to verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21 says, "Now Isaiah had said, 'Let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil, that he may recover.'" And then verse 22, "Hezekiah also said, 'What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?'" And so the fuller account is given over in 2 Kings that we told you about before, 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 8 through verse 11. But Hezekiah himself, there in verse 22, is requesting a sign. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 10, it says, "Hezekiah answered, 'It's an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps.'" He says, "Rather let the shadow go back 10 steps. So when you combine those two different passages, what we read here in Isaiah, what's said in 2 Kings, the reason it lands on this part where he says here in these verses, in verse 8, that he will cast the shadow by the declining sun on the dial, that happened because of what Hezekiah answered in 2 Kings 20 verse 10. He said it's an easy thing for the shadow to go forward. It's a harder thing for the shadow to go back. In other words, if you remember, they used sundials back in that day to tell the time. And so he's saying basically it's easy for the sun to go forward, for the time to go forward, but what if it went backwards? That would be a better sign to me, is what Hezekiah is saying. So in response, God treats the stairway of Ahaz like a sundial, but makes the shadow go backward as though time had reversed. How does God do that? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. So it's difficult for us to know exactly how God did this. It's a miracle that defies the scientific explanation. But in any case, the Lord uses this amazing sign to encourage Hezekiah's faith at a critical moment in his life. He's giving him this promise. He wants him to rest assured that this is going to happen. So notice what comes as a result of that promise being fulfilled. When he sees that dial shadow begin to go backwards, it just is an amazing thing for him to see. And so notice his thoughtful praise, Hezekiah's thoughtful praise in verse 9 down through verse 20. So the rest of this chapter is given entirely to Hezekiah's amazingly thoughtful psalm of praise to the Lord who healed him. And it describes with a tremendous emotion Hezekiah's journey of faith, from bitterly questioning the Lord because of his illness to seeing God's wisdom in bringing the affliction into his life. So notice verse 9 to begin with. "A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness." So after God has given him the amazing miracle of his physical healing, it's clear that this is a poem that Hezekiah, a psalm, if you will, a song, a prayer song that Hezekiah writes later, showing a mature reflection of his experience of his illness and of his healing. So verse 10. Verse 10 says, "I said, 'In the midst of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night, you bring me to an end. Verse 13 says, I calm myself until morning. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. From day to night, you bring me to an end. And then in verse 14, like a swallow or a bird or a crane, I chirp. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my pledge of safety. So here in these few verses, in verse 10 down through verse 14, Hezekiah here is describing vividly his bitterness toward God for his suffering, because he felt like his suffering was unfair, that God was robbing him of the best years of his life, as though God were hunting him down like a lion to crush his bones. That's the illustration that he's giving there, or a bird that's been caught in a trap. But then you get down to verse 15, and verse 15 to verse 17, he says, that's what I was like when I started out with this suffering, but something happened. Verse 15 says, what shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I walk slowly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. Verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and make me live. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Isaiah, or Hezekiah here, turns the corner. He realizes that the whole reason God allowed this suffering, the whole reason God allowed this pain, was to humble him and to teach him to walk humbly before God the rest of his life. You know, sometimes it takes us going through those kinds of things to teach us humility. You don't just automatically have humility. You learn humility, just like you learn patience going through situations. And so he continues on to show us in Psalm 119, when Psalm 19 teaches the same lesson. You look at verse 67, 71, 75, and 92. It teaches us that suffering teaches humility and causes us to walk more carefully, more obediently before the Lord. So the promise of God, spoken by Isaiah, restores his hope and gives him life. You see that in verse 16, where he said, O Lord, by these things men live, and all these is the life of my spirit. O restore to me the health, my health, and make me live. And so ultimately, it was for Hezekiah's well-being. It was for his peace, for his welfare, that he experienced such intense bitterness. Hezekiah, like all great men, surely struggled with pride. But God designed this suffering of disease and this miraculous cure to humble him to the core of his being. And then the final portion of this praise comes in verse 18 through verse 20, where he says, for Sheol does not thank you. Death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness. The living, he thanks you, as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. The Lord will save me and will play my music on stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord. And so then you finish those last two verses that we read earlier. So he gives the reason here for his deliverance, so that he might praise God for his faithfulness and for his power. All this time, in the midst of the suffering, Hezekiah had been focusing on his bitterness toward God. So often that's what we do. When we're going through some difficult season in our life, we're going through some trial, some tribulation, we tend to focus on our bitterness toward God. God, why are you letting this happen to me? But Hezekiah here learns from his illness, and it causes him to focus on God in praise. So what is the main lesson from this chapter, from the sickbed of Hezekiah? Well, the main lesson of the universal human struggle with sin and death is this. It's found in Romans 6 and verse 23, that tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hezekiah celebrated in his psalm of praise here how God had put his sins behind his back in forgiveness. And what we know is that the forgiveness of our sins comes only by Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of our sins is our top priority, not the temporary healing of the body this side of death. So Hezekiah's praying, Lord, let me live physically. But God says, okay, but I'm going to let you live spiritually. You don't have to live just 120 years here on this earth. I'm going to let you live for eternity because you've trusted in me as your Lord and our Savior. So forgiveness of our sins is our top priority, not the temporary healing. So think about in the New Testament, when the paralyzed man was lowered through the roof to be healed by Jesus, you remember what Jesus did? Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the man in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, he said, behold, some people brought him to a paralytic laying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, the man was still paralyzed. The miracle of healing his paralysis had not happened yet. He was still paralyzed, but his true need, his greatest need, had been met. You know, the deepest, the desperate pressure that people feel for healing, for deliverance from the suffering of disease can block out our view of our infinitely greater need, the need of the forgiveness of our sins. A paralyzed person, paralyzed but forgiven person, will spend eternity walking and leaping and praising God in heaven. But you could take the greatest Olympic runner who dies in their sin, they'll spend an eternity bound hand and foot in outer darkness, in weeping and gnashing of teeth in agony. Jesus' physical healings that he performed upon many people proved his authority on earth to forgive sins. In fact, he goes on later in the next few verses, in verse 6 down to verse 7, and says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he arose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God. They glorified God who had given such authority to men. The physical healings were showing a foretaste of the fact that God forgives our sins, and it guarantees perfection in the body after the resurrection from the dead. The second thing we learn from this chapter is this. We learn that we all ought to listen to the command of Isaiah that he gave to Hezekiah. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, "In justice is it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." You know what that's saying? That's saying the same thing Isaiah said to Hezekiah. Set your house in order, you're about to die. So this passage tells us that it is appointed unto every one of us to die, and after that, to face the judgment. We ought to live every day of our lives aware of our mortality. We ought to flee to Jesus Christ for salvation, to his power to make the most of the limited time that we have. And then thirdly, we ought to embrace suffering like Hezekiah and the writer of Psalm 119 did, and realize that it's working a huge spiritual blessing in us. It's to humble us. All of that we're going through is there to humble us, to cause us to walk softly in the Lord's laws. And finally, we ought to use our own experiences in suffering to make us genuinely compassionate to others who are suffering. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 says that God, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So when you're going through some trial, you're going through some tribulation, God is there to comfort you. One of the reasons he's allowing it is he's allowing you to receive comfort during your affliction so that you can give comfort to others who are in their affliction, so that with the comfort with which you yourself have been comforted by God, you can show that same comfort to others. So we ought to use the brief time we have in this life to alleviate all the suffering we can, but especially eternal suffering. We address physical suffering by giving the kind of ministry the Good Samaritan did to the man that he found bleeding by the side of the road. But we also ought to address the eternal suffering by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the sufferers in the world so that they'll never experience the infinitely greater torments of hell. What a wonderful passage to remind us here to set our house in order. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the wonderful blessing that you've given to us. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for loving us with the great love with which you have loved us. And Father, I pray tonight that if there are any who have heard this message who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, may they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, for many who are Christians already, and maybe they're wondering, why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this suffering? Lord, I pray that you will help them to at the very least see that you will take whatever that pain is, whatever that suffering is, whatever that trial is, whatever that crisis is that they're facing, and you will use that to bring glory to your name and to bring good into our lives. You will use that, Lord, to help us to bring comfort, the comfort of the gospel, to those who are lost and dying and will spend an eternity in hell, that as they see us going through our suffering, trusting the Lord, as that begins to question them and their hearts, how could a person live that way, facing so much difficulty? There's something different about that person. Lord, I pray that our faithfulness in the midst of suffering would be a witness to the people around us. Father, we may not be in the midst of a place of suffering right now, but we know that it will come for every one of us because you've told us it is appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment. Help us, Lord, to make sure that our house is in order as believers. Father, I pray that as believers, we'll make sure that we have been sharing the good news of the gospel. We've been living the truth of your word as we should each and every day. And may your hand of blessing be upon us in a powerful way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us tonight. Again, we look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for our worship service. Look forward to seeing everybody back here in person. But you have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.